Now, I've had the opportunity to welcome some of you to my office across the street, but if I haven't, you'll need to use your imagination. Imagine, if you will, a ridiculously neat and organized office. Now, priests and pastors are known for having terribly disorganized desks. Mine, on the other hand, is really organized. It is in order throughout the day, and it is always clear when I leave at the end of the day. I like things to be organized. I like things to be in order and quiet, which is why I go on silent retreats. During meetings, I like it best when one person speaks at a time, so when I imagine the noise of that first feast of Pentecost, my anxiety goes up a little bit. In many churches this morning, there will be noisy and completely out of order readings of the story from Acts, and you'd hear it in many different languages. And when Pentecost rolled around every year at my last congregation, a group of people would gather on the chancel steps and would read the story from Acts in as many languages as possible, all at the same time. It was complete chaos. Now, for some reason, we had two Janes in the congregation, one who read in Greek and the other who read in Italian. We also had two Roberts. One would read in French and the other in Latin. We usually found someone to read in Spanish. I would occasionally try to jump in with the French, and one year they even tried to find an opportunity for me to read in Hebrew, but fortunately we couldn't find that. Standing here in front of the congregation on those steps and reading in as many languages as possible, all at the same time, really raised that anxiety level. And I imagine what it must have been like for the congregation to hear all these voices totally out of order. And of course, this tradition, which is practiced in many churches on today's feast, calls to mind that original experience that people had in Jerusalem when all of the apostles started speaking in many languages, all at the same time. Now, occasionally, the Feast of Pentecost is understood as a celebration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to each person. Instead, I believe that the Feast of Pentecost is a celebration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the whole people of God. We hear about how communal this feast was and still is in the story from Acts. We hear that the early believers in Jesus were gathered all together, not just sitting side by side, but they were all together in one place. And we hear that that violent wind of the Holy Spirit filled the entire house, not just individual hearts where they were sitting. And we hear that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. In short, we hear about the birth of the whole church. The Feast of Pentecost is a feast of community, about the ways that we as a whole people, the ways we are gifted again as a whole people to speak together to a hurting world. As soon as the Holy Spirit filled the hearts and lives of those apostles gathered for that first feast of Pentecost, the noisy church was born. The noisy church, as a whole people, was given the charge and the ability to speak to the faithful from around the world in languages and ways that made sense, ways that were meaning-giving and purpose-giving. The Feast of Pentecost celebrates the birth of that noisy church, not of each of us as individual Christians, but the birth of the whole church. The whole people of God charged and empowered to speak to a hurting world. The arrival of the Holy Spirit in and among that new and noisy church. It's not just something we remember as something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's a birthday we celebrate each year. That's one of the great things about birthdays. By God's grace, they keep coming. You know. Because of that first birthday of the church, we gather here today filled by the same Holy Spirit charged and empowered to speak words of comfort and challenge to a hurting world. A world in great need of the great good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. Another great thing about birthdays, other than the cake, of course, is presents. And I admit it, even though I just turned 40, I still love getting birthday presents. And I definitely love giving birthday presents. And part of it is that I love torturing the birthday person with the surprise of the wrapped gift. Who knows what's inside the bow and the paper? But I also love the look of warmth and love the person gives when he or she opens the gift. What a gift we are. What a gift St. James Episcopal Church is to the world. We see those same looks of warmth and love when we open our doors to our Hands of Hope guests and clients and volunteers. We see looks of warmth and love when our youth gather for Bible stories. We see that same look of warmth and love at the community garden that we will bless after the 10 o'clock today. We see looks of warmth and love every time we welcome new friends on a Sunday morning. The ability of this church to continue to offer these gifts to the community and to see those looks of warmth and love, it's completely dependent on the faithful gifts that we all offer, the gifts that the friends and members of this congregation make. Do you mind passing around the papers? As you see in the papers that Mary's passing out, the church is blessed by the faithful giving of time and talent and treasure from friends and members of this congregation. You'll also see in the papers that Mary is passing around now that quite honestly, the finances of our beloved congregation are struggling. The bare bones budget that we as a congregation approved at our annual meeting in January shows an anticipated shortfall of almost $18,000. Put simply, our expenses outpace our income. Despite the faithful generosity that each of you makes, that each of you offers, that each of you sacrifices, the first quarter of this year saw a nearly $4,000 gap between our income and our expenses. I come before you today honestly squirming in my shoes talking about money at church. But I have to face the reality of the financial state of our congregation. Even with a $15,000 mission grant from the Diocese of New Jersey that we received this year, we still can't meet our expenses. And unfortunately, this grant is not going to be available next year, making it that much more difficult to close that gap between our expenses and our income. I come before you today, still squirming in my shoes, talking about money in church, to ask you to prayerfully consider your financial gifts to this congregation. Please help us close the gap so that we can continue to do things like sharing the stories of the Bible with our kids, like continuing our community garden, like continuing to welcome guests to worship. And I come before you today, still squirming in my shoes, talking about money in church, still confident that we as a people are uniquely gifted to meet the financial challenges before us. After all, more than just a group of individual Christians sitting in the pews, we are the church. The church whose birthday we celebrate today, that noisy church called to share the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. More than just individual Christians sitting in the pews, we are the church. The church whose birthday we celebrate today, that noisy church empowered to speak loudly in as many ways and languages as possible, to speak that faith, hope, love, joy, and salvation come through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.